kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share today with you from Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12, which you all know very well. And we're calling our teaching today Boldness and Access in Prayer. Boldness and Access in Prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12. And he says this: according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. Boldness and access in prayer. Now, the apostle here is encouraging them simply because of the trials and the conflicts that they're going through, but particularly what the apostle is going through. And he's showing that through these conflicts and trials, God has always got a bigger and greater plan. And keep that in mind in light of what we go through both individually and corporately. Whatever your walk has been last week, or whatever you have gone through, or what you may go through next week, always remember God has a greater and bigger plan. And it is important to keep that in mind. We know this because I've just read it there. He says in verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So, of course, the apostle, as we know, going through a lot of trial and tribulation, imprisonments, beatings, you name it. He's going through all of this for the sake of the gospel. Now, of course, the enemy likes to use a saint or a ministry that is going through what appears to look negative. And so the apostle is dealing with what the enemy is trying to do and say in the church and the churches. In other words, they're saying, well, look, here you are, here's the proof. What's the point of following God? Look what he's going through. Look what that person's going through. Look what it seems that they have lost for Christ, and so on. And it spreads like wildfire. And the enemy tries to use it. Our families have used it also against us. I've had it said against me. But you see, God has always got a bigger plan. And this verse is to bring us into the very presence of Almighty God, and also in prayer, for the very purpose to be healed, to be touched, to be delivered. I said at the beginning, God has always got a higher and bigger plan. In every situation of your life, no matter how negative it may look, no matter how vocal the enemy is, remember, God has a bigger plan. That is our faith. And we're going to look at this in more detail. But don't be put off by what's happening. And we shouldn't be put off, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever your situation, whatever you're going through, you can still come boldly into the presence of Almighty God, because He doesn't change. His attributes do not change. You may be going through difficulty or whatever it would be, but God still says you can come boldly into My presence. And let's keep that also in mind. Not only that, but we have to be aware that this is open for all of us who are in Jesus Christ. The question is, as the apostle raises, are we entering with this boldness, this access, this confidence by faith in Him? Are we experiencing that? Now, this boldness, the Greek word for this is parousia, parousia. And this is an interesting word, because part of this boldness, the understanding of this boldness that he speaks of here, this is where we get the idea in democracy of freedom of speech. This is why we are defenders of freedom of speech. And that is why I say so often in our prayers, when we are praying for our governments, we are praying for democracy, pray for the freedom of speech, because this helps us to spread the gospel. And so it is important to understand this. And this is part of this understanding of boldness, this freedom in speech. Fearless, because God has been dealing with fear. It also means openness. This boldness is open. You don't have to hide. You don't hide things. It's also an assurance. So you are utterly assured to be able to come into God's presence with boldness. Parousia. Parousia, this Greek word, a very important word. Now, this same word is used in John 16. I want you to grasp this today as we learn exactly what our Lord has provided and done for us. John 16 and verse 25. He says, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father." Here we are. This, again, I'm going to speak with freedom of speech. I'm not going to make it metaphor or parables. I am going to tell you plainly. Openness, assurance. There's that idea of this word again. And also in verse 29 of the same chapter, his disciples said to him, "See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech." So in other words, what he's revealing this boldness of speech. And of course, we need that. That is very important for the preaching and teaching of the gospel, the unction of the Spirit, speaking with that boldness, that authority. We get the understanding of this word also in the book of Acts. There are many illustrations, but I'm just giving a few here so that you can understand what this word boldness means. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. "Now the Lord took on their threats and grant to your servants, that with all boldness they may speak your word. So under persecutions, threats and whatever, they, under the anointing, speak the boldness, the word of God. There's that same Greek word again. So, having clearly looked at that, I raise this question. Do I believe this? That is the question. Do I believe that God has provided access into his presence, not only access, but to come boldly into his presence? That is the question, and that is what sorts it out. Or is it just an idea? Do I just read this theologically? I'm hearing this sermon. Yes, I like the sound of it, everything. But the question is that my experience? Do I want what I hear to become an experience that I enter boldly into the presence of Almighty God? Because that is the question in all of this. Otherwise, if it's not going to be translated, it's not going to happen in your life. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of meeting? What's the purpose of coming together? There's no point. It's more than just an idea. It's, or not, we can even view it as another promise. But we need to be careful with our attitude and thinking. You see, this is practical. This is what he's showing here, designed to bring me before Almighty God. This is more than theology. This is more than just even learning, and we all have to learn. We have to process things. Of course we do. But this is revealing the key to my walk, my standing, my prayer life with Almighty God. Through any opposition, whatever happens, however I feel, whatever it would be, this is important to bring me boldly before Almighty God. And this is to be reflected in our lives. You see, you've got to remember what the apostle's talking about here. This was not possible for Gentiles, what he's talking about here. This was only for the Jews. This was only for the Hebrews. They were the only ones who could have access to the presence of Almighty God under the high priest, who atoned once a year for Israel, or they could bring their sacrifices before God and atone or deal with sin. They were the only nation on the earth who had access to the presence of Almighty God. No other nation ever had it. And here the apostles now speaking about our boldness, our prayer life, coming into the presence of Almighty God. He's revealing this mystery that's being revealed to us. And now Gentiles, Jews, bond, slave, free, all have this access, this boldness into the very presence of Almighty God. It was unheard of before. And look what he's saying here. And this is why it's to be reflected in our lives. Now note what he says when we read in verses 1 to 7 of Ephesians chapter 3. Note what he says here. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Here it is. And this is why he can confidently say, now that we have access into his presence and we come boldly into his presence, because it now has been made known. The mystery has been revealed. And now we are grafted into the vine and we also partake as well. So our approach to God should be freedom. It shouldn't be in fear. It shouldn't be in hesitation. It shouldn't be any of these things. If we truly are born again of the Spirit and we have tasted and we know the grace and mercy of God, there should not be in any way this fear that hinders or stops us from coming boldly into his presence, because we no longer have to go through a priest. We no longer have to have the shedding of blood. We no longer have to go through any of those rituals. It's done away. And this is why, if you are in fear or trepidation, or you are not sure, or you don't come correctly before God, you are placing yourself in bondage. You might as well just go back under the law, which sadly some do. And you not only go under the law, but you go under its curse. There's the fearful thing. It has all been removed and dealt with. Hallelujah. So there we are, looking back in verse 12. He says, to whom we have boldness. Well, he doesn't just stop there with this boldness. He also uses another word, access. So he says, to whom we have boldness and access. So we have already spoken to you what we mean by this boldness, this freedom, this access. We are able to freely talk before Almighty God, our Father. There is no fear holding us back in our relationship with him. Our relationship is open and honest and righteous. Everything is wholesome, holy about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. What has been accomplished through Christ. So we have that boldness, but we also have that access. Now, what do we mean by access? Well, it simply means an entry. It is something that I move towards. It's also an admission. That is why Christ is always revealed as the door. The open door. And we have access through that door. Christ is the doorway through. As I boldly go through that door. Now, You can have a door. And you can have a door that's just partly open. And sometimes we approach a door, don't we, very cautiously. We're not sure what is on the other side. We're not sure, maybe, should I go through that door? It's like going into somebody's house. You're a stranger and nobody's in. And so you're going round the house, but you're not confidently opening those doors. You're sort of opening them gingerly and sort of looking and peering in because everything is strange and new. And I'm not sure if somebody's actually in the house or not. That feeling of insecurity, that feeling, I shouldn't really be here, I'm trespassing. I'm using that because that's so often how we approach God. And we don't. We've already looked at the word boldness. And with that boldness, he has given us access. It means entry. It means move towards. It means you have admission. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Romans chapter 5 and let's get to it. 5 and verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So there we are. The apostle brings us up to the Romans. That we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so this access is between us and God. And he's waiting to receive us. And he can only receive us if we come boldly into his presence. You will not be received if you come in unbelief, if you come in fear, if you come in sin, or whatever it would be. And you say to me, yes, Pastor, but you don't know what life is like. Sometimes I fall short of the standard. Well, God has given us forgiveness. If anyone falls short, we have an access with the Father, who is the propitiation for our sins. You confess sin. You keep close accounts. This is why I'm always saying, keep close accounts with God, because you need that boldness and access into his presence. Doesn't matter how you feel, what mood you are in, or whatever it would be, you keep close accounts for that very purpose. We're talking today about boldness and access in prayer. So that's what it means, access. So he says, to whom we have boldness and access, doesn't stop there, with confidence through faith in him. So we've got a third word. And what does it mean here? This confidence. Well, the idea of confidence is the end of a process. What do I mean by the end of a process? Well, you want to learn to play the piano or the guitar. And so you start to learn. You probably go for lessons and so on. And you begin to learn to play that instrument until you become proficient, until you know where your hands automatically go. You're no longer learning in that sense. I'm not learning to play it anymore. I've come to that place where I've learned to play the instrument. I now have that access. I now have that confidence to be able to play fairly proficiently. It's exactly the same when you learn to drive a car. We all remember when we started to learn to drive the car, we're all very nervous, very cautious, didn't dare go over 30 mile an hour. Always, you know, you just got that, you're tense about you. And then suddenly one day you're driving and none of those things are happening anymore. And that's what he means, confidence. You get confidence. We go with this confidence into the presence of Almighty God with boldness. I've learnt. I am learning from God. I no longer have to shy away. I no longer in fear. I can come in confidence into his holy presence because I know he receives me. But it doesn't just stop there, brothers and sisters. The reason we are confident is, look at those last few words, through faith in him. That is why I am confident. It's not in me, it's faith in him, or through the faith of him. So we go back to what Christ has done for us. It is his work. He has done it. He has overcome. He has given us that boldness, that access with confidence into our Father's presence. It is what he has achieved. And that's why you can be confident. Can you see it? Not in yourself. It's in what he has achieved and done for us. Hallelujah. And that is why we can come boldly into his presence. We can make our requests known. We can pray knowing that our Heavenly Father hears us. Because it's achieved by the faith of him. And that faith that he has given is a gift to us. If God doesn't give us the gift of faith, none of us will believe. It's not in us. God first loved us. We didn't love him first. We were happy sinning in the world until God said, enough over your life and my life. Thank God for that. So everything is achieved through him. There's no access apart from him. And we need to think about God before praying. We need to think, how do I approach the Lord? How do I approach an awesome, holy God that no one can look upon, who would burn up immediately? How do I approach him? You see, we need to consider these things as the apostle is showing us. And I can only approach God by faith, the faith of Christ in me. And that is why we do everything through him. And you can enter boldly and make your requests known. Now, why is the apostle stressing all of this? Because he's saying, don't be downhearted. Don't let your emotions, depression, govern you. You may be feeling like that. You may be sad. You may be mourning for the loss of someone. You may have been rejected, or lied, or gossiped about, or whatever it would be. But he's saying, don't let any of that stop you from coming boldly into the presence of Almighty God. And he's saying, don't be despondent by what I go through and the persecutions I'm going through. Don't be despondent by it. This is what he's doing here. He's trying to bring a level, a calmness into the house of God. And this is where we have to deal with our moods and our feelings and whatever it is. Do you find yourself preaching to yourself? I do. I start quoting the word. I start saying, okay, I don't feel too good today. Okay, I'm upset over something. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, Kim. Pull yourself together. You walk this day by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what is said. I walk with God who doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. That's preaching to yourself. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
We all do it. And it's good. And it's healthy. So it's not just the minister or pastor that's preaching to you, you're doing it yourself for the very purpose that I can come boldly into the presence of Almighty God. That's why, because the enemy wants to stop you from doing that. He wants to keep you out of the presence of God, coming boldly before him. He hates it when saints are praying the prayer of faith and God is answering it. You are probably attacked more in the area of prayer than anything else in your life. Yes, a lot of you are nodding your heads. Amen. I cannot be the only one. I get more attacks from the enemy with regard to prayer than probably anything else. That's a good giveaway, isn't it? Why? Because he fears. Because God has given us access boldly into his presence with confidence through the faith of Jesus Christ. That makes him tremble. So you preach to yourself and you remind yourself the promises of God, what he has provided for me. Because it's all about the one whom I'm addressing. And if we confess our sins, our shortcomings or whatever it is, then the blood of Jesus deals with it for the very purpose that I come boldly into the presence of my heavenly Father and make my request known. And when you know that and you experience that, whatever you feel, however down you feel, suddenly you find yourself beginning to praise and worship God, and those holy hands go up in his presence and you just worship and you praise him. You see, God has provided to lift us above all of this. And the Apostle Paul, as I bring this to a close, is encouraging these Christians as he's revealing the mystery being unfolded of the church. He's showing a way out of this, that you do not have to be a slave to your feelings, your emotions, those areas of unbelief and where the enemy tries to work so hard. He is showing you do not have to be a slave to that. But on the contrary, you can rise up and boldly go into the very presence of Almighty God because Jesus Christ has made the way possible.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus Christ.